You're listening to the Qalam Podcast, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussain Kamani. This summer, Mufti Hussain will be teaching the Hadith Intensive. Students will study the different methods of compilation and preservation of a Hadith, the major role female scholars have played in Hadith preservation, the biography of famous Hadith narrators, as well as different Ahadith collections and excerpts from famous Hadith texts like Sahih al-Bukhari. For more information, visit hadithintensive.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الانبياء وعلى اله الاسكياء واصحابه الاتقياء اما بعد الله سبحانه وتعالى says in an ayah of the Quran ان الذين قالوا ربنا الله indeed those who have said that our Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Saying that I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't only believing in one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it means to accept the complete faith system of Islam. A person who has internalized and submits themselves truly accepts iman, faith. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا and then they remain steadfast on it. Remaining steadfast on your faith, what does that mean? What that means is that your actions add up to what you believe in. For a person to say that I believe in the Qur'an being the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one thing. And it's a very strong argument, very difficult for people to argue and say that the Qur'an was fabricated. Orientalists and Islamophobes have made that argument for a long period and they've continuously, consistently failed in establishing their point. Because the Qur'an is a preserved book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved his kalam, his own speech. One thing is believing in the Qur'an being the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But istiqamah, steadfastness on that actually means that you take the rulings of the Qur'an and you actually implement them into your life. So for example, a person reads in the Qur'an that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like those who are oppressors. So now istiqamah, steadfastness on the Qur'an actually means that you find in your life all the scenarios and all the days and all the times that you oppress and you remove them simply because the Qur'an is telling you to do so. Another group of scholars, when they translate this word istiqamu, which means to be steadfast and firm, they say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ those who say they believe in Allah, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا then they became steadfast on holding on to the Qur'an and sunnah. Meaning they held on to their religion strong. They aligned themselves with the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they implemented them. Now what's the gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the people who do these two things? تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ Angels descend upon them. Some mufassirun, when they commented on this ayah, they say angels descend upon them عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ when they are going through death. At the last moment of their life, angels come to them. And the angels, they say, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا do not fear anything. Every person has a different fear. For a person who doesn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his fear is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish me for my disbelief. A person who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala but was not consistent with actions, that person fears that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold me accountable for my disobedience. But the question is, what kind of fear will a person have who already believes in Allah and has remained steadfast on the actions that a Muslim should remain steadfast on? What kind of faith will he have? So the scholars then say, you will find people in five categories. The first category are لِعَامَّةِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ the general believer. When the angels will say to that person, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا that do not fear, what does that mean? What they're actually saying to this person is, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا تَأْبِيدَ الْعَذَابِ don't fear any eternal punishment because you are leaving this dunya, this world in the state of iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never punish a believer eternally. A disbeliever will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eternally. But a believer, a person who says La ilaha illallah, even if they are sent to the fire of hell, and we ask Allah to protect us all. The 25th night of Ramadan, one of the possible nights of Laylatul Qadr. We raise our hands and we say, Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Oh Allah, protect us all from the fire of hell. The angels will say to these people, the ammatul mu'mineen, the average believer, that do not fear eternal punishment in the fire of hell because you are saved from that. You have left this dunya in a state of faith. The second group of people, al-mukhlisun, these are people who were sincere. What kind of fear do they have? The angels will say to them, do not fear that your actions will be rejected because you were sincere. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not reject the actions of a person who was sincere for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third group of people are the ta'ibun, those who made sins, who committed mistakes during their life, but then they repented to Allah before their death. To them the angels will say, Allah takhafu, do not fear. But this time it'll be in the context of, do not fear the sins that you committed in your life because you asked Allah for forgiveness. Wallahu ghafur rahim. And your Lord is forgiving, and your Lord is merciful. The fourth group of people are the zuhad, the people who abstain from worldly pleasures anyway. To them the angels will say, Allah takhafu, do not fear. Meaning there's no need for you to fear any hisab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold you accountable on the Day of Judgment. You did not show pleasure in the dunya to begin with. And if you did not engage with the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, what kind of accountability will you have on the Day of Judgment? And the fifth group of people are the ulama, the scholars. The angels will say to them, Allah takhafu, do not fear. What that means for them is, do not fear of any of the punishments of the Day of Judgment. Not just the fire of hell, but any difficulty of the Day of Judgment, from resurrection to standing in front of Allah, waiting for your hisab, the thirst, the heat that will bother people, all of this you have been saved from. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا The ayah continues on. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا Do not fear. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا لَا تَحْزَنُوا means, do not grieve. لَا تَخَافُوا is kind of over the future, what's to come. A person fears over what's coming. تَحْزَنُوا is huzn, to grieve. To grieve is over the past. Meaning, don't worry about what you missed out in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you and give you good reward. What you missed out, what that means is, a person might grieve and say, man, I wish I had did more good in my life. I wish I had done more. I wish I had done more. The person who dies by saying la ilaha illallah and during their lifetime they had istiqamah, meaning they had steadfastness, Allah will reward them in a way that they will not fear anything that's to come ahead of them on the Day of Judgment, and they will have no grief over the past. And then the angels will say to this person, وَأَبِشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ We've been sent to you right now at the time of your death to give you glad tidings of paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this promise to you. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the companions, they say, Barra bin Azib radiallahu anhu narrates a hadith. He says, خَرَجْنَا مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فِي جَنَازَةِ رَجُلٍ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ We one day were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the funeral of an Ansari Sahabi. There was a companion from Medina Munawwara who passed away. فَانْتَهَيْنَا إِلَى الْقَبْرِ We arrived at the graveyard and it was time to lower him into the grave. فَجَلَسَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alaihi wasallam وَجَلَسْنَا حَوْلَهُ The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat down at the grave, and we the companions sat around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَكَأَنَّ عَلَى رُؤُوسِنَا الطَّيْرِ Everyone was sitting so silently, so respectfully. There was this hayba, this fear, because they were sitting in the graveyard. They were all intimidated by the grave. To the degree that they said that everyone was sitting so still that it was as if there were birds on the head. You know, when a bird is sitting somewhere, if you move that thing a little bit, what's going to happen? It'll fly off. So he's trying to indicate towards how still the companions were with respect while sitting at that grave around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَفِي يَدِهِ عُودٌ يَنْكُتُ بِهِ الْأَرْضِ The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a stick in his hand that he was kind of just poking into the ground with. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned to the companions and he said, "Ista'idhu billahi min 'adhab al-qabr." Seek protection from Allah in this punishment of the grave. Qalaha marratayn. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this twice, aw thalathan, or three times. "Ista'idhu billahi min 'adhab al-qabr." "Ista'idhu billahi min 'adhab al-qabr." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna al-'abd al-mu'mina idha kana fi iqbal min al-akhirah wa inqita' min ad-dunya nazalat ilayhi mala'ikatun bidhun wujuhuhum kash-shams wa ma'ahum kafanun min al-jannah wa hunutun min hunut al-jannah." That when a believer is transitioning from this world, a group of angels come, and they come with beautiful garments, with beautiful faces lightened up just like the sun. They have beautiful fragrance with them, and they bring a shroud from Jannah as if they're ready to receive this person's soul. And they come to this person and they tell this person that أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ, O content soul, O servant of Allah that has been content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are here to receive you and take you to the mercy of Allah and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they sit nearby that person and they praise the person and praise the person. And when this person sees the beauty and smells the beautiful fragrance and hears these glad tidings of Jannah, his soul becomes very happy. And when they take the soul out of that person, they extract the soul from that person in such a peaceful manner as if a drop falls from a cup or from a bowl. You know, when you pour water, how easily does it fall from the jug into the cup? Very easily, right? Like you pull out a strand of hair from a dough. When you pull that strand out, does it disturb the dough in any way at all? No, at all. Nothing. Very simple, very easy. That's how this person's soul is extracted from the body. And then they then take this soul and they wrap it inside a beautiful garment. This is all in the hadith of the Prophet. And that garment has a beautiful fragrance. And they take it into the heavens. And every group of angels they walk past, the angels they say, what is this beautiful fragrance that we smell from this bag? And the angels they say, this is the soul of Fulan ibn Fulan. So-and-so, the son of so-and-so. And they will describe that person with the most beautiful characteristics, with the most beautiful names. And the angels will say, Assalamu alayk, peace be with you. Hani'an lak, marhaban bik, that glad tidings be for you. Welcome you are, O soul. We heard so much about you. Now you pass by us. Until the soul reaches the seventh heaven, the highest skies. And the soul will then be presented in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, take his book of deeds and put him in the pile of those who did good. And send this servant back to the world. Honor him on the way down. Honor him into the grave. And that soul will then be returned back into the soil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command the angels, Minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum. From this soul we created you, to this soul you're being returned. Now send this servant back to the soil. And when that person's body is returned back to the soil, and they finish off burying his body, when this person is now in the grave alone, as the people begin to walk away, he will hear their footsteps leaving him. The hadith says what? He will? That lady, that man will hear the footsteps walking away, and he will feel loneliness. And two angels will come, and they will ask, Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? And this person, he will say what he did his entire life, Inna alladhina qalu Rabbuna Allah thumma istaqamu. He will say, Rabbi Allah, I never doubted Allah being my Lord in my statements or my action or my heart while I was in the world. You think I'm going to stutter today? My Lord is Allah. They will say, Ma dinuk, what is your religion? He will say, Deen yal Islam, my religion is Islam. The angels will then ask, what do you say about this person? And there will be an image in front of him. You know, some scholars will say it will be an image of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or they will say, what do you say about this person? And there will be a direction towards the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The scholars have interpreted this statement in different ways. But the hadith says, the angels will say, مَا تَقُولُ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلِ, what do you say regarding this man? And that person will say, this is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they say, وَمَا عِلْمُكَ, and how do you know he is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And this person will say, I read his words and I read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is the Messenger of Allah who delivered it to us. And the angels will then say to this person, that glad tidings be to you. All of the sacrifices you made in the world, today will be paid off for you. And his grave will open up. And it will turn into a garden from the gardens of paradise. His grave will be full with fragrance. And as this person lies in his grave in peace, there will be a window opened up in front of him, and that window will give him sight into his final abode, into Jannah, insha'Allah al-Aziz. And as he lies there, a beautiful man will come with a beautiful garment, and he will say to that person, don't worry, you're not alone here. I am here to give you company until the day of judgment. And he will say, who are you? And that person will say, I am the good deeds that you did while you were in the dunya. You didn't leave me in the dunya, I won't leave you in the grave now. What have we prepared? Have we ever thought about this journey? A journey that has been told to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then continued on. He said, "Wa ammal kafir," as for the disbeliever, when his time of death comes, the angels are sent down to him. And they are dressed in the most horrific garments with a stench that is emitting that tells him that these angels have just come from the fire of hell, because they are responsible of managing the affairs within the fire of hell. And when this person sees him, the angels will say, oh wretched soul, you disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now the punishment of Allah awaits you. And when the time comes to take his soul out of his body, he will be terrified by the smell, by the sight, by their anger, by the thunder in their voice. And when the soul is taken out, they will yank the soul out bit by bit, kind of like a fabric cloth, a silk cloth is pulled out of a pile of pricks, a pile of thorns. You know how you pull it out, it rips and tears, rips and tears. They will pull the soul until the neck and then release it again. Until the shoulders, release it again. And then all the way down, sorry, from the bottom upwards. Till the ankles, release it. Then extract the soul until the knees and then release it. And then until the waist and then release it. And they will continue to release it, causing this person more and more pain. And then finally they will wrap his soul and take it to the heavens. And the angels will say that the Lord has no desire in seeing this servant. Send him back to the hole that he came from. Minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum. From this soil we created you, and to this soil you will be returned. And when he's lowered down into the grave, the angels will come. And these angels will have a thunder in their voice, and they will say to this person, Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? And he will have no answer to that question. They will say, what is your religion? He will have no answer to that question. They will ask him, who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to you? He will have no answer to that question. And then the angels will tell him that all of that denial of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of that ungratefulness to Allah, all of those sins, today the time has come where your opportunity to do good deeds is gone, and the hisab and the punishment of Allah starts now. The hisab and the punishment of Allah starts now. And the grave will close in on this person. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used his fingers and he crossed them into one another. فَشَبَّكَ أَصَابِعَهُ. He took his fingers and crossed them into one another and said, this is how his ribs will cross out of that punishment. And he will continue to be tortured until the day of judgment. This hadith right here of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, it reminds us of the continuation of our journey into this dunya. Let me ask you one thing. The Quran talks about embryology, the formation of the human being in the mother's womb. Yes or no? When it was first revealed, before people had science to verify it, some people were skeptical. Yes or no? Yes or no? But what did Muslims always say? Science or not, what did we say? La ilaha illallah. Sadaqa rabbah. Our Lord spoke the truth. Our Lord spoke the truth. That's what we said. And we continue to say it whether we had any reason or not, whether we had the science behind it, the knowledge behind it or not, which later on, as we know, there's no part of it that's faulty or lie at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke the truth. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. But until we didn't have the science, we continued to believe in it. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke the truth about our entry into the world before any human being knows, before any human being knew, do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is lying about your exit from the dunya? There are some of us that may say, but there's no proof to any of this. This statement was made before, by the way, those who rejected. But when time came, رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَّمِعْنَا فَرَجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُقِنُونَ. On the day of judgment, those who deny, when they see, they hereafter. When they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's jaza and his compensation and Allah's hisab, his accountability, they will say, Ya Allah, now we believe, give us a chance to go back to the world. Ya Allah, we believe now. Right now, if you go to someone and say all this happens in the grave, the average person who isn't a believer and has no faith in Allah and the Rasul, what will they say? This is all bogus. You open up the grave, nothing's happening there. The reason is because the punishment is not necessarily attached to the body. The body is just a vehicle for the dunya. The punishment is attached to the soul. And the soul of the human being can't be seen by any tool any scientist can create as it enters the body or as it exits the body. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the soul cannot be tracked. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Because a soul is a secret of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What its dimensions are, how it's created, what it feels. These are all things connected to the soul of the human being. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Your knowledge regarding the ruh, the soul, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you is very limited. So I close off this khatira, this reminder. First and foremost, to encourage every one of us to believe in our ending just as we believe in our beginning. A day will come where we will live past the ending of this dunya. And when we stand on the day of judgment, we will look backwards and we will say, wow, all of it was true. But at that point, accepting it will be meaningless. The time to accept it is now. And if we accept it with our heart that this is what's going to happen, then it's only foolishness that will turn us away from preparing for that day. These are the nights of Ramadan. This is a possible night of Laylatul Qadr. There is no opportunity greater for us than to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today, now, this night, Ya Allah, honor us at the time of death. Ya Allah, preserve us. Ya Allah, send us angels who will bring good, glad tidings to us, who will bring pleasure to us, who will give us comfort, who will be our companions, who you are happy with. Ilaha al-alameen, don't let us leave this dunya until you are happy with us. Wa anta radin anna, until you are pleased with us. Ilaha al-alameen, do not make us from the second group of people who have no answer for their questions in the grave. Ya Allah, don't make us from the group of people who the angels are angry to meet. Ya Allah, don't make us from the people who are terrified at the time of death and have no support to give them guidance as they transition from this world into the next. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Aqim as-salat.